David Mullins is the current general manager here at WFSU, but he will be retiring this summer after a long and celebrated career in public media. Gina Jordan sat down with David to discuss his time at WFSU, the road that led him here, and what he might be up to next.
Yes, I am retiring, ending what will be this summer 48 years in broadcasting. I began working at the local television station back in my hometown of San Angelo, Texas, huge metropolis, when I was actually 17 years old, right after graduating high school. Didn't turn 18 until August. And I have been in broadcasting since then.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So largely you've been behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, for a lot of my for all of my early career behind the scenes. I didn't get stepping behind a mic, or I guess in front of a mic, or in front of a camera until probably 1997, 1998, when I moved into a position of vice president of marketing membership at WPBT in Miami, the PBS station there.
Wow.
Up until that point, I had only been on the production side mostly and directing, producing, running camera, whatever it is. Yeah,
I did not know all of that about you.
Yeah, you know, I've directed sports. I've directed concerts.
Wow.
I got to direct. It was only one song, but it was for a BBC telethon back in 1996 time period. That featured the Bee Gees. We set up a platform and a stage in the backyard of a Robin Gibb, and had it via satellite to London for a telethon. That's probably one of my most memorable production type of projects.
That's lots of fun.
Yeah.
Today you're doing pledge drives, so we hear you today.
Yeah.
And you've always been really good about promoting the local news team, so thank you for that.
I think you know local news is a passion for me. Well, news, and I got my start even in the television side directing newscasts. So doing news and being a part of the local news team, and it's a passion of mine, always has been.
Aww.
Didn't get a chance to be a part of a radio team until coming here. I'd only been in television on the television side in my career until coming to WFSU 10 and a half years ago.
Wow.
But you guys are great. What's not to promote?
Well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That's very kind. And we did get to listen to you a little bit on WFSU's podcast, Tally Benchwarmers.
Oh, yeah.
We have a couple of clips to play here. Let's hear the first one, please, Taylor.
You're watching on a podcast. You're wondering what the heck has he got on his head. But I think I'm the goofball of the bunch. But you remember the old rally caps in baseball?
Yes.
When your team was down going into the ninth inning and you had maybe a chance to win, and now all the fans would turn those caps on. And
I think the animals still do that.
Do they really?
I think they do.
So, but this is instead of my rally cap, this is my tally cap.
Okay.
See?
Okay, so you're talking about your tally cap.
My tally cap, yeah.
It's cute.
You know, I'm glad that the team let me do that podcast for a couple of years, a couple of football seasons worth, and then one full season of basketball. But we had a lot of fun with that, and I truly was. I was the goofball of the group that we're just talking sports. We were just sitting around this very table here in the studio, and we had fun. We probably had listeners numbering in the dozens for that.
At least. We also have a clip of you talking to our reporter, Tristan Wood, teasing him a little bit about his collegiate, experience.
Resident Gator, he's not going to, he may be do a chomp a few times, Tristan Wood. Tristan, you've got a smile on your face today.
I mean, absolutely. It was, an illuminating flag-planting win by the Gators this weekend here.
You have anything to throw?
we'll see how he behaves himself enough.
Nice.
We both know Tristan did not behave himself that day or any day really, right? But we would allow and I would say allow Tristan on that podcast a few times to let him crow about the Gators a little bit.
And in fairness, your podcast suffered through some of the worst FSU football in the history of man.
It was. Those were also the two seasons that I was the WFSU news team sideline photographer and sports reporter.
You were
and
great.
You know what? Thank you for that. Maybe my stories were interesting, but when I first came here back in 2015, the next summer, the first hurricane in 20 years came to Tallahassee. Now I start doing that for the football team a couple of years ago, and then they start losing. So there may be something connected to me that is that provides negative energy where it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
so
you
maybe
might be
that's
the problem.
Another reason I need to get out of y'all's hair and let y'all blossom.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're not just a stodgy, you know, GM. You've been a lot of fun.
Well,
we
I think that the only way to have good results when you're working with people is to have fun. Now, we are all serious about our jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Always have to be. But there are times also in any given workday where you can have a little fun and take that approach to life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what made you come to Tallahassee?
Well, you know, I was one of many applicants for this general manager job back in 2015 after my predecessor, Patrick Keating, retired. At that time, I was the general manager of the PBS station in Harrisonburg, Virginia, WVPT. We had we had a small but mighty staff, and we broke a lot of fundraising records when I was there, which I'm always proud about. But when I found out about this job opportunity, my wife and I and my family, we lived in South Florida for 18, 19 years before moving to Virginia. So we really learned to love the state of Florida. Florida is great. I grew up in Texas. My wife is from Texas, but we're East Coasters now, have been since I was 27 years old. So this job, and when I started researching about it and looking at the depth of what this organization means to this community beyond just our local news, but a strong PBS station, a very strong radio station in this market and in Panama City. Mm-hmm. The Florida Channel, which a lot of people may or may not know, is a department of WFSU, and the great work that that team does working on the ninth floor of the Florida Capitol, providing that transparency to the Florida state government was also very intriguing. So, you know, I applied, was fortunate enough to have been selected. And I've told people that when I was here for my first interview and I talked to people, saw the facility, got to know some of the staff, then had to do a presentation in front of the whole team in the studio, I felt very comfortable. I felt like this was home. I felt like this is where I am meant to be. So I was really pulling for being selected. I was really, really I was fortunate, but I was very appreciative.
Nice.
Yeah.
Coming here, you must have had a vision for the station.
Yeah. I think that the station was kind of already moving in that direction. The media landscape has really evolved so dramatically, I guess, really, over the last 15 or 20 years. It's been much more rapid over the last maybe 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, my vision was really that we were to provide our services, and really it's our content, to our community and our consumers, really, if you want to think about it that way, using three words, any place, anyone, anytime. We want to make our content available to everybody.
Yeah.
And make it available on their own schedules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, streaming and the way that people are consuming video and audio content now, it's second nature to how that's just how we all consume. I mean, I watch and listen on my phone as much or more, actually probably a lot more than I do with the television or even in the car and the radio.
Yeah.
But so making it available on their own schedule and really any place, meaning, you know, where they want to consume it and how they want to consume it and on their own schedule. So we're certainly there. We've reached that goal. And the other dream that I had for the organization is I think everybody would admit that when I was first here in 2015, we were kind of siloed, and that's not uncommon. I've worked at three public media organizations in my career, and each one of those was siloed. So I wanted to bring as much as we could together on the content side. We were able to do that, and now it's really we're looking at our video and our audio teams, television and radio, mm-hmm. as one content team, and really working closer and closer together on creating and developing even new ideas that we may not have even thought about if we were looking at it solely through the lens of either TV or radio.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had to adapt. We will mm-hmm. keep adapting. What do you think needs to happen with public media organizations to make sure they stay relevant?
Well, the only way you're going to be able to stay relevant is to be able to raise the money that you have to because of the elimination of government funding. Mm-hmm. But the way that you stay relevant, I think, is to be as connected to your community as possible. And there's lots of ways to do that. I mean, through local news, you and your peers on the news team, you're out, you're talking with people, and you got to understand the vibe of the community, right? You know, we're fortunate because we're really connected in the education world. Always have been, and I hope always will be.
Yeah.
So we're able to, where you stay relevant by being able to provide the necessary, valued, meaningful services, and that's content, that is services on the education side, that's being a place where people can go and they can know that they can trust that this organization is looking out for the best interest of the community.
Yeah. There's been a significant challenge in the last year with losing federal funding and losing state funding.
Yeah.
And it's still unfolding, really. It's still being dealt with. Mm-hmm. So you had to do something pretty painful late last year where you called people into your office one by one and you told them they were being laid off in a few months.
Yeah.
Tell us about the realization about that having to happen and how you dealt with that.
Okay. So, you know, in the early spring of 2025 with the whole DOGE, federal DOGE efforts, and then the DOGE committee, the presidents of PBS and NPR testified in front of Congress. It was becoming very evident at that point that the federal support of public media was very much in jeopardy. The first indication that we had of that was really in jeopardy was at the end of April with a May 1st date of the elimination of funding for Ready to Learn federal funding through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Ready to Learn funding is what supported the vast majority of all of our education efforts here with WFSU. Our team had been one of the few PBS stations across the country that had every year been receiving those federal dollars to work directly with teachers, with other partners in this community, to have workshops for teachers and parents, to have a direct impact on students. That elimination happened. And then on June 30th of last year, Governor DeSantis announced his vetoes for the fiscal year budget that we're currently in, and vetoed the funding for public television and public radio. That collectively for us was about just shy of a $500,000 impact on our operations budget, which we had not been anticipating. Then, and a devastating blow was when the Congress voted to eliminate public broadcasting funding moving forward. Mm-hmm. No more dollars were going to be coming our way. We were fortunate that we had, for our budget for this fiscal year, current fiscal year, we had dollars that were received in grants, federal grants last year. So it wasn't such an immediate impact on our operating budget, but we knew moving forward we had to reset how we were going to operate beginning on July 1 of this year. A new fiscal year started without any government support at all, totaling about $2.8 million cut from government support.
Yeah.
In the fall of last year, after a lot of angst and budget crunching and cutting everything and anything that we could, we really had to dig deep into our budget and determine what positions that we absolutely needed to employ in order to be able to provide the services and meet our contractual obligations for several production contracts moving forward, which that did mean that we did need to reduce our staff. We provided a 3-month notice to those staff And it was tough, you know, but beyond tough, hardest thing I've ever had to do in my career. And it was not hard on me as compared to the person that I was talking to. And then the impact on our staff who were going to be working, continuing to work with us. There's been so much support from our staff here. And, you know, I think hopefully we're able to kind of come together as even a closer knit group of teammates. And that, you know, that's the one thing I'm going to miss, is that I'm not going to be able to live my professional life with all of you great folks.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's a great group of people in the building.
It is.
What do you see as the steps ahead for WFSU? I know it's not your decision soon, right? But but what do you think our steps probably should be?
Well, again, so much of what this organization will be able to do, forget about the steps that we hope to do, it's all going to be dependent on support of our community, from businesses to individual support, just like, you know, today is David's last drive. We're kind of having fun with this Thursday fundraising event, and we're very appreciative of that kind of support. And in fact, the support that we have received over this past 12-month period has been phenomenal. It's been record-breaking. We have raised far beyond any support that this station has ever had within a 12-month period. Wow. And so my wish and my hope and my request right now to anybody who's listening is that support from the community needs to continue. Sustaining monthly support is going to be so critical. So assuming that we're going to be able to meet those kinds of goals on the revenue side, what my vision would be for this organization moving forward is for there to be a growth in the ability to employ even more of our content creators in the podcasting world and the news, local news team, and video production that can be producing short and long form projects, but always making sure that what we're doing is the right thing for the community. And maybe there are ways that we can partner with organizations beyond what we've partnered with in the past to be able to kind of support that kind of initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, look, Regan came to play with us.
Hey, it's Regan McCarthy.
Hi. Hey there.
How are you?
Hey, David. Good to see you for a little while longer.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't see each other enough anyway, and now it's going to be even less.
Right. I wanted to soak in as much time with you as I could, so I couldn't just let you be here by yourself in this interview. I had to sit
in. Thank you. Yeah, Gina's been very nice to me. You know, she hasn't rolled her eyes very many times when I've talked,
Right. Well, she's an expert interviewer, so I know she's practiced that very serious interview face.
I thought she was going to say I was an expert eye roller, which is also correct.
She is, yeah. Well, you're a mother, right? So that's it.
Right. Yeah. So, Regan, you're our news director. You got promoted not too long ago.
Yay.
And you were also here when David arrived. So what do you remember about David's arrival in the building?
Uh-oh.
Yes. I heard you, David, talking about that presentation that you gave in front of all of the staff. And I remember after that, you know, we all went back to our offices and talked about, oh, what did you think about everybody? And a lot of people had really glowing things to say about you. I think you just projected a lot of warmth and a lot of real humanness. And I think that that's something that you've really brought to your leadership here at WFSU. You know, we heard you teasing Tristan about being a Gator. You know, we see you in the halls all the time, and you're a human being who I think really values the human in all of the rest of us. And I think that you've really brought that forth through your leadership here at the station.
That is really nice of you to say. I appreciate that. And, you know, I've never really heard anybody commenting about back in 2015 about how, you know, the candidates and the hiring. So that's nice. And it's also nice to be known as a human being. Just for the record.
We always talk about that in journalism world, you know, where we always want to talk to humans.
Real
humans.
Yeah, that's what we prefer. So, Regan, what are your takeaways from David's tenure with us? What will you remember most about David?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that I'll miss a lot about David is having that sports reporter here.
You know, freelance.
A little known fact about me is that I'm a multi-time award-winning sports reporter, which is a running joke in our newsroom. And so I am concerned in your absence that I'll maybe have to be back out there trying to figure out What in the world those football players are doing?
I will tell you, you don't want to be there for noon kickoffs in the fall. It's hot as, I will use the word, Hades on that field.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Hades. Yeah. Well, thank you, Regan. Thanks for popping in. We appreciate it.
But thank you.
Can I maybe in the fall contact you? And if you're looking for a photog, you know, I'll drop by.
Of course. My door is always open.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, David, we have a search underway for your successor now.
Uh-huh.
What might be your advice for this person?
My advice for this person would be to trust the staff. You all know what you're doing. So step into the role with that knowledge. Don't come in with any kind of an ego. And this is my advice to y'all. If the person comes in with an ego, make them check it at the door. Because, you know, listen, I've tried to live my life in management positions with a servant leader attitude. One of the most important things that I think I've been able to pride myself on is I know when to get out of the way and just let the team do what they do best, and then step back and then enjoy all the accolades that the team gets. And part of this job is I get to, if something goes wrong, I get to point the finger. Not known, but also get to be able to be the person that some people see and say, love you guys at WFSU, you know. So it's, you know, I get to kind of walk around with a chip on my shoulder knowing, hey, you know, I'm the manager of this station.
Yeah. Well, final words for the staff and our audience.
For the staff is thank you. This is like home, and so leaving is going to be tough, but I just want to thank everybody for everything that you do every day. And for the listeners, thank you for everything they do every day. We hope that we will continue to be a valuable service to you, and that you will continue to support us. And knowing that now more than ever, donor support is so critical to the continuation of WFSU.
Well, David, it's been a pleasure knowing you.
No, my pleasure.
You deserve the best in retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both.